Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, June the 27th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you allow us to continue our study. We thank you also that you have given us all of the information that we need in advance of our birth, so that we might be prepared for the time to come. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us today as we continue our study and as we prepare for that time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Much discussion has taken place recently with regard to the similarity of dictatorial governments and an authoritarian leadership. And I came across an article found in the Thought Company website, published on May the 23rd, 2019, written by Robert Wilde, W-I-L-D-E. The title of his article is Biography of Adolf Hitler, Leader of the Third Reich. The title again, Biography of Adolf Hitler, Leader of the Third Reich. Here is his article. Adolf Hitler, born 1889, died 1945, was the leader of Germany's Third Reich from 1933 to 1945. He was the primary instigator of both the Second World War in Europe and the mass execution of millions of people deemed to be enemies or inferior to the Aryan ideal. He rose from being a talentless painter to the dictator of Germany, and for a few months, emperor of much of Europe. His empire was crushed by an array of the world's strongest nations. He ultimately killed himself before he could be tried and brought to justice. Adolf Hitler was born in Braunau, Austria, on April 20th, 1889. His mother's name was Alois Hitler, and he was a moody child. He grew hostile towards his father, especially once the latter had retired and the family had moved to the outskirts of Linz. Alois, his mother, died in 1903, but left money to take care of the family. Adolf was close to his mother, who was highly indulgent of him, and he was deeply affected when she died in 1907. He left school at age 16 in 1905, intending to become a painter. Unfortunately for him, he wasn't a very good one. He went to Vienna in 1907, where he applied to the Viennese Academy of Fine Arts, but was twice turned down. This experience further embittered the increasingly angry Hitler, and he returned to Vienna again when his mother died, living first with a most successful friend, and then moving from hostel to hostel as a lonely vagabond figure. He recovered to make a living selling his art cheaply as a resident in the community men's home. During this period, Hitler appears to have developed the worldview that would characterize his whole life and was centered on hatred for Jews and Marxists. Hitler was well-placed to be influenced by Karl Luger, Vienna's deeply anti-Semite mayor, and a man who used to hate to help create a party of mass support. Hitler had previously been influenced by Schröner, an Austrian politician, against liberals, socialists, Catholics, and Jews. Vienna was also highly anti-Semite, and Hitler's hate was not unusual. It was simply part of the popular mindset. What Hitler went on to do was present these ideas more successfully than ever before. Hitler moved to Munich in 1913 and avoided Austrian military service in the early 1914 by virtue of being unfit for service. However, when the First World War broke out in 1914, he joined the 16th Bavarian Infantry Regiment, serving throughout the war, mostly as a corporal after refusing promotion. He proved to be an able and brave soldier as a dispatch runner, winning the Iron Cross on two occasions, and he was also wounded twice, and 4 weeks before the war ended, he suffered a gas attack that temporarily blinded and hospitalized him. It was there he learned of Germany's surrender, which he took as a betrayal. He especially hated the Treaty of Versailles, which Germany had to sign after the war as part of the settlement. After World War I, Hitler became convinced that he was destined to help Germany, but his first move was to stay in the army for as long as possible because it paid wages, and to do so, he went along with the socialists now in charge of Germany. He was soon able to turn the tables and drew the attention of army anti-socialists who were setting up anti-revolutionary units. In 1919, working for an army unit, he was assigned to spy on a political party of roughly 40 idealists called the German Working Party. Instead, he joined it, swiftly rose to a position of dominance. He was a chairman by 1921, and renamed it the Socialist German Workers' Party. He gave the party the swastika as a symbol, and organized a personal army of stormtroopers and bodyguards of black-shirted men to attack opponents. He also discovered and used his powerful ability for public speaking. In November 1923, Hitler organized Bavarian nationalists under a figurehead of General Ludendorff in a coup, and they declared that their new government in a beer hall in Munich would be the new leadership in Germany. There were a group of 3,000 who marched through the streets, but they were met by police who opened fire, killing 16 of them. Hitler was arrested in 1924 and used his trial to spread his name and his ideas quickly. He was sentenced to just 5 years in prison, a sentence often described as a sign of tacit agreement with his views. Hitler served only 9 months in prison, during which he wrote the Mein Kampf, a book outlining his theories on race, Germany, and Jews. He sold 5 million copies by 1939. Only then in prison did Hitler come to believe he was destined to be a leader. The man who thought he was paving the way for a German leader of genius now thought he was the genius who could take and use power. After the Beer Hall incident, Hitler resolved to seek power through subverting the Weimar government system, and he carefully rebuilt the system, or the Nazi Party, allying with future key figures like Goering and propaganda masterminds Goebbels. Once, over time, he expanded the party's support, partly by exploiting the fears of socialists and partly by appealing to everyone who felt their economic livelihood threatened by the Depression of the 1930s. Over time, he gained the interest of big business, the press, and the middle class. Nazi votes jumped to 107 seats in the Reichstag in 1930. It's important to stress that Hitler wasn't a socialist. The Nazi party that he was molding was based on race, not the idea of socialism. But it took a good few years for Hitler to grow powerful enough to expel the socialists from his party. Hitler didn't take power in Germany overnight, and took years for him to take full power of his party. In 1932, Hitler acquired German citizenship and ran for president, coming in second to von Hindenburg. Later that year, the Nazi Party acquired 230 seats in the Reichstag, making them the largest party in Germany. At first, Hitler was refused the office of Chancellor by a president who distrusted him, and a continued snub might have seen Hitler cast out as his support failed. However, factionally, the divisions at the top of the government meant that thanks to conservative politicians believing they could control Hitler, he was appointed Chancellor of Germany on January the 30th, 1933. Hitler moved with great speed to isolate and expel opponents from power, shutting trade unions and removing communists, conservatives, and the Jews. Later that year, Hitler perfectly exploited an act of arson on the Reichstag to begin the creation of a totalitarian state, dominating the March the 5th election thanks to support from nationalist groups. Hitler soon took over the role of president when Hindenburg died and merged the role with that of chancellor to become Führer, or leader, of Germany. Hitler continued to move with speed in radically changing Germany, consolidating power, locking up enemies in camps, bending culture to his will, rebuilding the army, and breaking the constraints of the Treaty of Versailles. He tried to change the social fabric of Germany by encouraging women to breed more and bring in laws to secure racial purity. Jews were particularly targeted. Employment, high elsewhere in a time of depression, fell to zero in Germany. Hitler also made himself head of the army, smashed the power of his former brown shirt street warriors, and expunged the socialists fully from his party and his state. Nazism was the dominant ideology. The socialists were the first in the death camps. Hitler believed he must make Germany great again through creating an empire and engineering totalitarian expansion, uniting with Austria in an Anschluss and dismembering Czechoslovakia. The rest of Europe was worried, but France and Britain were prepared to concede limited expansion with Germany, taking within it the German fringe. Hitler, however, wanted more. It was in September 1939, when German forces invaded Poland, that other nations took a stand and declared war. This was not unappealing to Hitler. He believed Germany should make itself great through war, and invasions in 1940 went well. Over the course of that year, France fell and the Third Reich expanded. However, his fatal mistake occurred in 1941 with the invasion of Russia, through which he wished to create a living room situation. After initial success, German forces were pushed back by Russia, and defeats in Africa and Western Europe followed, as Germany was slowly beaten. During the last years of the war, Hitler became gradually more paranoid and divorced from the world, retreating to a bunker. As armies approached Berlin from two directions, Hitler married his mistress Eva Braun on April the 30th, 1945. Then he killed himself. The Soviets found his body soon after and spirited it away so that it would never become a memorial. A piece remains in a Russian archive. Hitler will forever be remembered for starting the Second World War, the most costly conflict in world history, thanks to his desire to expand Germany's border through force. He will equally be remembered for his dreams of racial purity, which prompted him to order the execution of millions of people, perhaps as high as 11 million. Although every arm of German bureaucracy was turned to pursuing the executions, Hitler was the chief driving force. In the decades since Hitler's death, many commentators have concluded that he must have been mentally ill, and that if he wasn't when he started to rule, the pressures of his failed wars must have driven him mad. Given that he ordered genocide and ranted and raved, it is easy to see why people have come to this conclusion. But it's important to state that there is no consensus among historians that he was insane, or what psychological problems he may have had. Now that is quite a description of Hitler, and a pretty inclusive description of where he stood. He has a reputation in this world today, and whenever people think of authoritarianism or they think of Nazism, they immediately think of Adolf Hitler. Today, you look around the world and you see some authoritarian governments, like Turkey and the Philippines, and some would obviously say that this is the direction in which the United States of America is heading. I would not make that statement at this moment. But you and I need to understand that according to Revelation chapter 13, this nation of ours, which started out as a nation with two horns like a lamb, will ultimately begin to speak as a dragon, meaning that the entire constitutional framework of the United States of America has been foretold will be changed. The direction seems to have begun. It has begun many years ago, but that was covertly done. Today, we are looking at it from an overt situation where it is pretty clear that the nation is changing. Well, what does this mean and how does this impact us in our lives today? We need to get to the place in our thinking where we begin to understand that all of this has a spiritual application. This is not just about politics. It is not just about economics. It is not just about the military, but rather it is also about the spiritual direction in which this nation is heading. We have been warned that all of these elements will come together so that the United States of America will ultimately move in a particular direction. In order for us to be ready for that, we need to know what we believe, why we believe it, and where to find it. We need to be rooted and grounded in truth. Our hearts needed to be closely aligned to that which God has given us to follow, so that we might understand exactly what it is we need to do. Today, I want to encourage you, why not give your heart to the Lord completely again? And you know, you probably have done this before. And as we're talking right now, you probably are reflecting on your baptism. I don't know how many years ago that was, whether it might have been, but I believe that it would be useful if every day of our lives, as we rise from bed, that we make a new commitment to God, thanking Him for spared lives, thanking Him for the truth that He's given us, and asking Him to accept us again with a new commitment for that day, so that we might walk according to His will. I'd like also to ask you to remember how important it is that you set the right example always with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, but especially with your children, so that they might walk according to your will, the will of God, and that they might see in you the kind of character that is found in the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the call that You make to us every day. We're grateful for how You lead, and we're grateful that You do not abandon us at any point. But today we come and we ask that You would help us to see ahead of us the times that You described in Your Word, so that we might be ready to stand with You and for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, June the 27th, 2019.